The Jack Howell Show is presented in part by Ent Credit Union, with locations in Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Windsor, and Timnath. Visit ent.com. Insured by NCUA.
This is The Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Getting into another Victory Tuesday here with my guy, Jack Howell. Colorado State beats Utah Tech 41-20. Took a lot of things away from that game. The main thing, Jack, is I don't like lightning. It's very annoying.
Frustrating.
It's really frustrating, man. Yeah. Okay, so I want to get into that. Obviously, congratulations on the win, my man.
Thank you.
That interception.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that looked like it was going right to you.
Yeah. It's just a
little... Did you about fair catch that thing?
Yeah. Just an RPO and got lucky that he overthrew it a little bit. So.
Yeah, but you were making plays all over the field. In kind of a day that was starting out where Utah Tech was running the ball pretty well, right. You know, getting through that first line, you were coming in making a lot of tackles. There's got to be like almost an extra sense of pressure on you suddenly and defensive backs when they are getting through that first line of defense where you got to come up and you guys have to constantly make those plays.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like a lot of time at DBs, you know, if you're not making the tackle, you're the last line of defense, so it's going to be a big run. So there is a lot of pressure on your tackles.
You had, would you have 9 tackles in this game and an interception? So a really good game by you. I want to get into the game. We've got the Ent Credit Union game balls that Jack's going to be giving out to. I'm curious because there was some playmaking going on in this game. But it was a weird game in the sense of I do think the lightning delays really threw this game, like everything we thought it was going to be, crinkle it up, throw it in the trash, because we had 2 lightning delays, and the second lightning delay came at such a strange time that it almost felt like there were 3 lightning delays when we get into it. But let's talk about the delays first, because I know a lot of people were wanting to discuss that. The first one hit, I think you guys had just started the second quarter, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it was.
So we hit the lightning delay, and then you guys go, I think, what was it, like a 35-minute delay, 40-minute delay or something? What are you guys doing in the law? The whole time my brain's like, what's happening in there? Because there's only so much speech Coach Norvell can re-give you guys, because he just gave you the pregame speech not long before that. What's going on in the locker room during a lightning delay?
Honestly, for like 20 minutes, we were just sitting in there doing nothing, just kind of talking to ourselves.
Do you stay in your pads and everything?
Yeah, you stay in your pads. Yeah, you stay in everything. They have like some energy chew snacks and like some Gatorade and water and stuff that we can sip on, you know, stay ready like that. But then the second delay, we went over a little bit of adjustments and stuff like that. But for the most part, kind of just sat there and waited, because Coach Norvell was trying to work a situation where we would just come, or we would use that lightning delay as our halftime and then just come back and they would have a minute 37 or whatever it was on the clock. And then we would go straight into the next quarter. But I don't know if they didn't want to agree to that or what happened there for sure. But
that's what I heard, is that Utah Tech, that's just what I heard, was that they weren't crazy about that idea.
Yeah, that's what we heard. But
and I guess if you're Utah Tech, you know, you're the lesser team, you're going to lose this game. The weirder a game like that gets, I guess it probably bodes well for the underdog. Mm-hmm. So, the second delay hits, and I'm looking around. I've got my eyes on the sky, Jack. Yeah. You know, I'm like a weather guy. Yeah. I'm like, there's more lightning. I'm seeing more lightning the second time than I did the first time. So we're ticking down. I was like, there's no way they're going to have another lightning delay before halftime hits. We get in, as you said, it was like a minute 36 or something, and then it's another lightning delay. And in my mind's like, okay, man, come on, just finish out the 1 minute here. But you and I were talking during the break. If the worst thing happens and something really bad with lightning strikes or whatever does happen, whoever's on the hook for that is done for, you know? And so I do understand what goes into that. But it sounds like, as you said, CSU saying, okay, we'll take the delay. Let's get inside. Let's come out and let's play this minute and a half and then just start the third quarter rather than going to the locker room. We just start it with a kickoff or whatever and go that route, but didn't happen that way. See, we had originally heard that was the plan and it was going to happen. So a bunch of us reporters up there, I'm not a reporter, I'm just a person up there, are tweeting that out. And then suddenly it's like, no, I guess we're not going to do that. So it was a very strange thing.
Yeah, it was frustrating because they came in the locker room and proposed the idea to us that's what we're trying to do. And so we were all excited about that. And then they came back and they were like, actually, we're just going to wait this out. And then we're going to go play a minute and then go have halftime. And then we'll come back out and play the second half. So it was a lot of waiting around, and you know, your legs kind of get stiff and you start to feel like the bumps and bruises of the first half, and you're like, dang, we should be on midway through the third quarter already, you know, with adrenaline. But yeah, that part was frustrating.
Well, you guys got your warm-ups down. I mean, that's for sure, because you came back out and kept rewarming up. So you definitely nailed that part.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, another note on that, just kind of looking at the way those things set up, that plus your double overtime game with the Buffs a few weeks ago, you guys have played not necessarily a lot of football, you have, but long football. Like, you guys have been at it, and I wonder what the average looks like, because you guys, it seems like from kickoff to the end of the game, have like the most minutes of any college football team, perhaps.
It feels like it, yeah. I can't tell you for sure, but we've had a lot of snaps.
Well, let's look at this game. You know, coming into this game, you know, right off the bat, I think CSU marches right down, scores quickly. You guys get to stop Utah Tech, and then you score again. And then you had some other things, just some turnovers, and we'll get into those kind of deals. But ultimately, Utah Tech, really what they had going for them was Ronnie Walker Jr., 20 carries for 83 yards. From my vantage point, I'm looking at it going, okay, just seems like gap control is a little off here up front. What were you seeing, and ultimately, what did you guys do to adjust to that as the game progressed and you guys really ran away in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think we were so prepared for the pass just because of how big of an air raid team they are, and a lot of time, you know, they would go empty preparing for the film, and so we kind of weren't expecting that, and we're just missing some fits. There's a lot of fits where people, you know, were just kind of confused on, and then kind of by the end of the second quarter and over halftime, we made some adjustments and people knew where they're supposed to be going, and then, you know, second half, we shut them down a little bit.
Yeah, and again, it seemed like once the lightning stuff went away and we got back into the third quarter, things settled down a bit, and then by the time the fourth hit, everybody was figuring this out.
Right.
Is it fair to say that those delays like that really did throw off the rhythm? Because I don't think that's an excuse or any kind of negative reasoning there. It does make for kind of a strange setup.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. It did throw us off a little bit, and it's a weird rhythm, but that's something we got to be able to adjust to. And I feel like we've kind of seen all sorts of funky games this year with overtime and that, and just like momentum changes. So I feel like, you know, going into conference play, we've dealt with a lot of adversity, and so I'm kind of excited that we've dealt with a lot of that stuff. But yeah, it's been weird.
At one point, Utah Tech gets this game 21-20, I believe. They get up to 20 points there. What's going through your brain at that point, when it's that close against this team that you kind of know at the beginning going in, yeah, we should beat this team?
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating because, you know, we came out hot and we were shutting them down. And then at one point, we're like, come on, like, what are we doing? Like, we just need to execute, do our job. And, like, this team shouldn't even be anywhere close to us. And then I think once we kind of, you know, rallied together and said, like, enough is enough, that's about, like, started the third quarter, and we're like, all right, like, let's get back to business. So.
And it did. It seemed like, you know, maybe once you guys settled down and just said, you know, let's stay exactly with what we've been practicing all week,
right,
that's ultimately going to work and pull us away.
Yeah.
And that's what happened as CSU won 41-20 in this situation. Now, again, you look at the momentum shift and some of those things. Here's where I think you can tell CSU has changed so much over the last couple of years. There was a lot of games like this where maybe you're supposed to win, but the lesser team starts to believe, they still pull it off, and it's just like this. You go back to the Middle Tennessee game, and I know that's a tough team, but last year, you know, maybe CSU's picked to win that game. It gets bad early, and then you're just not able to overcome that. This team not only overcame a close situation and a weird situation with the lightning delays, but you ran away with it too. Doesn't that speak to that culture change we've been talking about?
Yeah, it does. I think, you know, we've seen it in CU. We dealt with a lot of adversity, and then we were down against Middle Tennessee. And I think we kind of just know that if we play our game, we're going to be all right. And I'm happy with how the team has responded this year, and we're not letting things phase us. So when it was 21-20, I was looking at guys kind of trying to see how they felt and see if they had that look in their eyes where you get down and it's like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But nobody really had that look, and we were confident. So, you know, I think it's really good. Get those kinks out now. understand what's going wrong on the defensive side and then adjust into it. So we just got to come out, play a little bit faster on defense. Offense just got to keep doing their thing, turn the ball over a little bit less, a little less penalties, and we'll be good.
I just think that sometimes in football, even though this defense that we talk about with Colorado State, you know, you were so good last year and you put up some big plays and big stops this year, things just happen. As you said, sometimes you get out of position. Maybe guys are trying to do too much and make that play and you get out of position. But when you can really just lock in, it's amazing how a good defense can just pick up, even though maybe the start of the game wasn't ideal for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. I think on defense especially, you just have to be able to adapt and, you know, adjust to what the offense is throwing at you. And that's the biggest thing is that we've had to do this year. But we got to play better in the first half going into conference play for sure.
You guys are listening to the Jack Howell Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. You guys look good in the orange, man.
The orange is the best.
I love seeing, and again, you get into October, almost October at that point.
Right.
I just love seeing Canvas Stadium decked out in all orange. It just feels kind of like fall and all that stuff. I absolutely love it. And the students, I mean, it was a good turnout. The Lightning, people are like, you know, it's Lightning. And two of those delays.
I don't blame them for
kind of how it goes, right?
I don't blame them for leaving. I wouldn't want to sit around in that. And, you know, a lot of people stuck through the first Lightning delay. And then as the second one is when people started to take off. So I get it. But, yeah, we have always have a good crowd turnout for the first half. And then I don't know where people go for sure, especially our students. We love the support when people show up, and it does make a big difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know folks were pumped up. There was a lot of orange. I like when fan bases will hear the dress code kind of thing, and they follow through with it.
Yeah, totally.
Because there's nothing, to me, it's so powerful to look around a stadium and see all the fans kind of look the
United.
Same. Yeah, in their same outfits and stuff.
Totally.
Rams get the dub 41-20 over the Utah Tech Trailblazers. That's it for the non-conference schedule.
Yep.
We're moving on to Mountain West play. Second season starts this coming weekend against Utah State. We'll talk about that more with Jack, and he'll give out his End Credit Union game balls of the weekend as well. We'll be right back.
Hi, welcome to End Credit Union.
Oh, hi.
Is that a llama?
Yeah, banking can be a little stressful, so I brought my no-drama llama.
You know, we have hassle-free, stress-free checking. No strings, no drama.
Oh, he likes the sound of that.
Plus, you also earn dividends.
Wow, guess I could have left Kyle at home.
Start banking like you own the place at end.com/checking. End Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome back into the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And I love doing these shows with Jack anyway, but it's always better to do them after a win. They're just more fun. You handle it better than most on a loss. We've only had you on for one loss so far. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to credit the show and the KFKA thing, man. Can we add some credit to that?
I think we should.
I think we can do that.
Yep.
CSU gets the dub, as we've been talking about, over Utah Tech, 41-20. A weird game with the Lightning and everything, but ultimately the Rams pull away and get the win. So what we like to do here, another partner of this program is Ent Credit Union. Love what they're doing. And they're getting out throughout all of Northern Colorado. Is we get Jack's thoughts, because I know the coaches are going to throw out a game ball all throughout Players of the Week. Everybody has their Player of the Week. But I got to get a player's perspective. An offensive and defensive game ball of the week. Defensively, I would say you were right up there, but I don't know. You're going to have one of those, like, 18 interceptions before I think you'll actually give yourself the defensive game ball.
If I'm getting, you know, a lot of interceptions, that means the D-line's doing something right. So I couldn't do that, could you? Nah,
could you not?
I can't do that.
I'm going to have to just, like, interfere one of these times, interrupt and be just like, Jack's getting it or something like that. But you did have a great game. 9 tackles in this one. You got the interception. How cool is an interception in college football, man?
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Is it? Is that, like, your favorite stat to get is an interception?
It is. I've never had a pick six before.
Oh.
You know, youth ball, high school. I've got to, like, the 3-yard line, like, 5 times, but just haven't got in the end zone. So one of these days,
it's going to happen. In the end zone. It's going to happen.
I hope so.
Oh, man. So. If that, I just hope that happens. So, and you have the ability to do that, but pick sixes are just so difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, getting interceptions is difficult anyway, but being able to pick off a guy while you're already in stride, because guys are so fast, they can track you down.
Right.
But getting those, I saw it with Dallas and New England the other day, just getting those kind of where a quarterback throws across the body and you're already making a mad sprint and it's just there. That is so tough to do because quarterbacks typically don't make those kind of mistakes.
Exactly.
But it's a pretty special feeling.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best for sure.
Mo Camara, would he say getting an interception or just knocking people out, sacking them like crazy? What do you think? Because he'd like to get an interception.
Has he had a
career I don't know the answer to that one. I don't.
Yeah.
But he sacks people a lot.
He does sack people a lot. So
because those are the two like big stats, right? Those are your favorite. Like,
yeah, sack.
Go, something about hitting a quarterback, bringing him down for a loss is different than bringing a running back down for a loss. It's just amazing. And then an interception or a pick six. Those would be the cool ones.
Exactly. Yeah, I think something about it, like a sack is just huge for momentum and kind of destroys an offense confidence. So that's huge. And then an interception definitely kills some confidence.
Yeah, no question about it. And you blitz though. I mean, you blitz a lot, and you got some pressure on the quarter. I think early in that first quarter too, that forced a couple of bad throws.
Yeah.
So you're getting there. But honestly, like that's the thing about pressure in quarterback. It's difficult to get a sack too. I mean, these guys, they're quick. They know how to get rid of the ball, especially if they pop out of that pocket a little bit. So that's also a difficult stat to get.
No, that's true.
All right. So let's look. You're not going to give it to yourself. There were some great defensive plays made, especially in that second half. I think Mo's gotten two of these by you so far. Is that right?
I think Mo's gotten two, and then Torrey got one. Dallin got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to see where you go on this one. Where do you want to go first? You want to go offense or defensive side of the ball?
Let's go offense.
Okay, so on the offensive side, you had some playmakers in this one. BFN did his thing, had a couple of turnovers that, as a young quarterback, I don't think people should worry about as much.
Right.
Maybe if this was a senior, junior, whatever. But I think some of those things will get cleaned up. He's trying to make some plays. He had a monster game, 462 yards, four touchdowns, and two picks. Is that some kind of a record for him or something like that?
I think it was a school record by a freshman QB. He's Mountain West Player of the Week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, for a freshman. So that was pretty cool.
Braden Fowler Nicolosi played really well. I would say I'd get like 90% of the, you know, there was just the two or three plays there. Other than that, he was extremely effective. You look at gotta give a shout out to Van Shield though too.
Like, man, that's my guy.
I mean, he had some good runs, especially late in the game, just trying to move the sticks and keep the clock running. But he got him a touchdown too.
Yeah. Was that his first career touchdown?
I think so.
Yeah.
So good for him. We talked a little bit about him last week. Torrey Horton, I mean, my gosh.
Stud.
10 receptions, 227 yards, and three touchdowns.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. He's a dude.
I mean, is he bad? Okay. Do we want to have that discussion? Is he like, where is he in terms of like Michael Gallup?
Oh, you know, I've never played with anyone as close to as good as Torrey. And that's for sure. His mental approach to the game, off the field. He's just so dedicated to football, and then it shows up on game day. So, I mean, I can't speak because I never, you know, played with Michael Gallup, but I feel like it's got to be Torrey.
He's got to be up there. Yeah. If not, yeah. Well, and his blocking ability.
Man, he had a pancake
just
on
late.
Dallin's.
Yeah. I thought Dallin got in, too, because of that block. So I'm all tweeting, touch. Oh, no, I guess he's out at the one.
Yeah.
But I was listening to the post game on the way home, Jack, and Torrey said, hey, we kind of have tell me if I'm wrong on this, like an unwritten rule with the receivers. If you don't go down and make blocks, you're not going to get a lot of passes thrown your way.
Well, I seen Dylan Goffney, number six, he got in the game, and he's an SMU transfer, and he started doing his thing. But on Torrey's first touchdown, he was blocking a guy down the field for like 20 yards.
Oh, yeah.
So that was huge. And then LB on Dallin's touchdown, pancaked a guy. Torrey had a pancake. So I'll tell you, like as a DB, that's one of the hardest things is a receiver who can block and who's willing to block. Because a lot of times, you know, those guys, they'll just get in your way, but they don't really want to throw their stuff in there. But, you know, when you have receivers who are going to block, that makes a huge difference.
That's a great point, too, because how many times did you see a guy catch a ball, turn up field and there was wide open space, that's because there was a body on four or five other bodies out there.
Yeah, and you don't see that a lot.
You don't. You really don't, especially at the college game. Yeah, you just don't see a lot of that. Dallin Holker's touchdown was crazy. He got moves, man. I mean, my goodness.
It's real like subtle, but it's it throws them off. Pretty bad.
They weren't the fastest moves in the history of the world, but something about it. It's like when a pitcher has a changeup. They're throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, and suddenly it's like a 64-mile-an-hour. Yeah. People are like, I don't know what to do. So they swing 14 times. They don't know what to do with it. But Holker, that was a great run after the catch for him. He had a big game. Yeah. You mentioned Goffney had a big game. Justice Ross Simmons, 50 yards there receiving.
Yeah.
So who are you going with on the offensive side of the ball? There's some great
offensive side of the ball. I'm people might get mad that I'm not going with Torrey, but as a freshman record at the school, and I think Torrey might have set a record, or he came second.
Now he's like one of two or three other guys to have multiple score games or whatever. Yeah,
so it's close, but I gotta go with Braden.
BFN
man, four touchdowns, 460 some yards. You know, we get really confident when he's hot and he starts slinging. And I know he's young and he's going to clean up the turnovers. But honestly, like defensively, we're fine. If you're throwing touchdowns and you have a turnover here and there, we'll get your back and we'll stop them. So got to go with Braden. Shout out to him. Look what he's done in 3 weeks. We're just so proud of him and how he's been able to give the offense an identity. So, you know.
Well, even that first pick he had, he's trying to tell, you know, he's looking at Dallin like, go deep.
Right.
And, you know, maybe if just a little more is on it. But the idea was there. And that's what you want to see in a young quarterback. The idea is there. Now just put a little more air under that football.
Exactly, yeah. Throw the ball away when you know you need to throw it away and chuck it up into the stands. And then, the idea is there. So
that's Jack's offensive player of the week. Let's go. Give us another minute there, Michael, back there. On the defensive side of the ball, obviously you see Muhammad Kamara just doing his thing. Yeah. I mean, I would not want to be hit or even – I don't even want him to think about hitting me in any way because it just looks painful.
Yeah.
He had a great game. You had a great game, as we talked about. Chase Wilson was all over the field too. Guys, we're making plays, especially in that second half. Where are you going on the defensive side of the ball?
I got to go with our Mike backer, Chase Wilson. Mm. 16 tackles, kind of all over the field. Big leader, big energy guy. Super proud of him and what he's done this season, so got to go with Chase.
I love it, man. That's a great pick, too, because you're not getting caught up in the stats necessarily. You're getting caught up in the who's out there making constant plays.
Right.
And I do love that. Chase Wilson's going to get the Ent Credit Union defensive game ball from Jack House. So Chase Wilson and Braden Fowler and Nicolosi, two firsts for you then, right?
Yep, two firsts.
I love that. What I like about Braden, and we'll wrap it up here, what Braden was able to do, you're going to make mistakes, and I think we talked about this last week. You make mistakes in sports. You're going to. You're going to turn the ball over. You're going to fumble. You're going to miss an assignment. How do you recover?
Yeah.
And he recovered in a big way.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like any time he throws an interception, the next drive, he's putting together a well-proven drive. And then defensively, we got to have his back.
He can move, too. I mean, I don't even want to say deceptive, but he can move a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a little juice.
Yeah.
He's got a little juice to him.
He does. He does. Okay, we'll take a quick break here. There we go. The Ent Credit Union game balls of the week going out to Braden Fowler Nicolosi on the offensive side of the ball and Chase Wilson with his 16 tackles on the defensive side of the ball. The Rams wrapped up non-conference play. They'll start with Mountain West competition coming up this weekend against Utah State on the road. We'll talk about that game coming up next. Take it
easy. Hi, welcome to Ent Credit Union.
Oh, hi.
Is that a llama?
Yeah, banking can be a little stressful, so I brought my no-drama llama.
You know, we have hassle-free, stress-free checking. No strings, no drama.
Oh, he likes the sound of that.
Plus, you also earn dividends.
Wow, guess I could have left Kyle at home.
Start banking like you own the place at ent.com/checking. Ent Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome back in to the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. The Rams finished up non-conference play at 2-2, and they won two in a row, beating Middle Tennessee on the road last week in an emotional victory, and then ultimately overcoming weird things, turnovers, lightning delays, all of that, against Utah Tech 41-20. What are your thoughts that kind of come to your mind, Jack, when you look at summarizing non-conference play?
Yeah, I think, like I was saying earlier, kind of overcoming a lot of adversity. Washington State, that's a good team. I think they're the number one offense in the country right now, statistically.
Yeah.
But yeah, what Cam Ward is doing with that offense and that team, that's a really good team. You know, we would have liked to play better against them, and I think we would if we had another shot. But CU, that one slipped away from us. That's frustrating. We should be 3-1 going into conference play. So, you know, that one stings still thinking about that. But and then getting two wins in a row. I don't know if it's true. I just seen on Twitter, but I think this is the first time CSU has been 2-2 going into conference play since 2017. Somebody said.
Seems like I did hear something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's huge for the program, but I feel like that's just the bare minimum expectation of what we did. But, you know, I think we have a lot more gas in the tank and we should be 3-1 going into conference play.
Well, when's the last time you guys won two games in a row? You guys did that in 2021. You beat San Jose State in New Mexico
and
in 2021.
New Mexico, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last year, you guys won three games, but not in a row. There was the Utah State game in the middle of the Nevada-Hawaii win, too. So, but again, those are so important for you guys. I mean, we always say second season, real season, I suppose, is the Mountain West. But the first few games of your season, you're trying to develop chemistry, confidence, figure out who you are as a team. When you look around, though, you just talk about Washington State and how good they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're undefeated. They were off last weekend. They play UCLA this weekend. But then when you see a team like CU, yeah, I know Oregon smoked them, but CU goes up against USC,
right?
Top 10 team in the country, and the Buffs come all the way back. Do you guys look at those things and say, those are our two losses?
Yeah.
I suppose if you're going to lose to some teams, you lose to teams that can prove that they can go on and do something pretty big.
Yeah, for sure. I think... Is Boulder 3-2?
3-2.
3-2.
Yep,
yeah.
3-2.
Yeah, last week could have came back, could have been 4-1. Could be 2-3, you know, with us too. But
yes, no, I totally get it. Yeah.
But, you know, those are two good teams. They're two good football teams, and they've had some tough schedules, and they've proven that they can play with anyone. So, you know, that does give us confidence for sure. But kind of like I was saying earlier, you know, it's not really about them. It's about us and what we can do. And, you know, I'm excited to get to conference play and, you know, make a real shot at a Mountain West championship.
You started up against, you go up against Utah State. Utah State's sitting at, let's see, they're 2-3 on the season. They did play Air Force 2 weeks ago, I believe. They lost 39-21 in that game. When you look at Utah State, what, so far, I know it's early in the week, kind of sticks out to you?
Yeah, they're an air raid team. They have a lot of funky splits and, you know, some really good receivers, quarterback that can spin the rock. So I think this is our fifth air raid team in a row, and we haven't played any other style of offense yet. So getting used to that, and, you know, we got to be able to adjust to that more. But yeah, they're a good football team. They've had some tough games, and they pulled out an emotional win against UConn last week. Blocked the extra point. I think is number six. Their safety is a good player.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a good football team. Despite I think they have two wins. So I feel like their record doesn't really show who they are. I think they played Iowa pretty tough this year. So yeah, it's a good football team. And I know the past two seasons we've been really close to beating them and should have beat them. You know, 2 years ago, my freshman year, we missed a field goal to win the game. And then last year it was 13-17, but it felt like we had dominated the whole game and they kind of were lucky to get away with a win. So we definitely got something to prove this year.
That was one of those games, too, last year, I think, again, with a new regime of Jay Norvell and everything, trying to establish who the Rams are. And wins can be tough to come by, even when you feel like you're the better team, clicking at the end. I mean, because you talked about what Bradley Van Pelt told you guys. You know, it's four quarters, and that's something that has to really set in for you guys, especially when you have a new head coach. Or not a new head coach, but new to CSU.
Oh, 100%.
Look at Utah State, and I'm just, again, I watched their game against Air Force. I did not watch their game against UConn. You talk about quarterback play. McKay Hillstead, Cooper Legas, it kind of looks like both guys get opportunities.
Yeah.
Against Air Force, it was Hillstead who threw it 27 times, and then against UConn, it was Cooper Legas who had 13 he tosses in that game. So how do you prepare for two quarterbacks?
So last year we actually played against, I think, four of their quarterbacks. I think they kept
getting
hurt.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so that was weird to be in that game because every quarterback has a little bit different rhythm, a different style. Some can run, some can't. Some will stay in the pocket, others will scramble. So trying to figure out what a quarterback was going to do, that was definitely hard. But, you know, being able to adjust to one or two quarterbacks isn't a big deal. But like I said, last year it got weird when there's like three or four of them in there.
Does it increase the film study then that you have to do? I mean, when you're watching, you got to go watch their set plays and then the other set plays. And then two-parter on that. Who are you expecting to start for Utah State? Or do you?
It doesn't really matter who starts for us as long as we're prepared, you know, because we look at their rhythm and their timing and their tendencies and at DB being able to read what they're going to do and know where they want to go with the football. So being able to study both of them definitely creates a little bit more film work, but just being able to be prepared is never a bad thing.
Well, and you talk about how difficult it can be when you're preparing for this quarterback and then another guy comes in. We see that at every level of football, don't we? When the starter goes down and maybe they were struggling a bit, the backup, it always seems like it could be Joe Flacco or Kyle Orton going out there. Mm-hmm. The backup, it just seems like there is a rhythm there, and you have all the fans going, that should be the guy.
Yeah.
But that's because the defense is like, okay, we were ready for this guy.
Yep.
We've spent all of our work this week preparing for that guy. It's going to take us a bit to adjust to this guy.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like I said, you get used to quarterback's tendencies and the rhythm and you know, everything that goes into an offense. You're used to studying for that specific person, and so then when a different QB goes in, an offense might completely change their whole entire play calls just so it's based around that quarterback. And I feel like you see that a lot of times. So, you know, we just got to be able to adjust to whatever offense is thrown at us.
Well, Utah State coming up, as we talked about, this weekend for CSU, starting Mountain West play. Jack, you can no answer me on this one if you are, no comment, but what are your goals this season? I mean, mm-hmm. obviously I think a minimum goal for fans is like, okay, we want to see six. We want to get to that bowl game. Where are you guys when it comes mentally to as you prepare here for Mountain West play?
I mean, I know the team thinks that we can hang with anybody, and there's no reason we can't win every single football game on the schedule, and that's what we want to do. But we want to compete for the Mountain West championship. We want to be in a bowl. And ultimately, we just want to play the best version of football that the Rams can play. And I think if we do that, we're going to win a lot of football games.
No, I think you're right. I think when you pair these two together, especially like we saw against Middle Tennessee, was complimentary football. When you see the four air raid, which it seems like it every week, we're just seeing a little to it. We know this defense at the end of the day is a good defense. Mm-hmm. So when you can put those two things together, there's no reason you shouldn't be competitive in every single game.
100%. Like I said, defense, we got to step up. I know we're not playing to the best of our ability, but you know we're going to make some adjustments. And we've played some good offenses and a lot of air raid teams that are used to putting up a lot of points. So we just got to keep playing and keep improving every week and get ready for conference play.
Yeah, big week of practice as we start Mountain West play this weekend for Colorado State. It's the Jack Howell Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll wrap up the program on the other side. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, welcome to End Credit Union.
Oh, hi.
Is that a llama?
Yeah, banking can be a little stressful, so I brought my no-drama llama.
You know, we have hassle-free, stress-free checking. No strings, no drama.
Oh, he likes the sound of that.
Plus, you also earn dividends.
Wow, guess I could have left Kyle at home.
Start banking like you own the place at end.com/checking. End Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Again, man, I just love doing this show with you. I learn so much. I love watching football. I find myself watching football differently after doing player shows a little bit more. I won't say I'm necessarily more educated than a regular fan, but when I hear you talk about football, it changes the way I watch it, man. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Of course. I feel like you get the inside scoop a little bit
more. I absolutely do. And getting to hear about some of the side stories and things like that I know you're not a part of all the decisions, but hearing some of that, because coaches talk to you, being one of those team leaders, of course, it is fascinating to see this process play out. So that's been one of my favorite things with these NIL things, and being able to get your voice in here, because a lot of people know Jack Howell. But then getting to hear you on a weekly basis in a full hour, I mean, I think people, it really does open up football for them a bit.
No, I appreciate it. It's fun. I love being able to do this and, you know, have the fans be able to listen and send in questions and stuff like that. It's a blast for me.
All right. So we were talking about the best stat to get on the defensive side, what that might be. And you were talking about like a pick six. Mm-hmm. That would be the best. I got a question for you that's an age-old sports question, and okay. I want to see where you come out on this. What do you think, and maybe you've experienced a lot of these, is a harder thing to do at the pro levels of these sports?
Okay.
Play quarterback.
Yeah.
Goalie in the NHL.
Okay.
Should we say hit one of the best pitchers in the majors? Oof. Say something like that. And then on the basketball side, I don't know. What's the hardest thing to do in basketball? Is it to go dunk on somebody or to defend Nikola Jokic or something like that?
I mean, that's pretty tough.
So what's the most difficult? Let's ask that first. What's the most difficult in your mind? What do you think would be the toughest?
Okay. I think the hardest position in any sport you play, whatever it is, quarterback has the most responsibility. It's the most eyes on you. And ultimately, that's why they get paid the big bucks, is because that's going to make or break a team. So I got to go quarterback, but I can't really speak for like a hockey goalie. I'm sure that's crazy, you know, having a bunch of dudes skate at you. I can't even skate. Like I can't even
join the club.
Yeah. So I mean, that's crazy. Hitting a baseball, I heard I think Dion was talking about it. Like that's one of the hardest things or the hardest thing to do. I feel like that'd be pretty tough, but I've only played a season of baseball, so I can't really speak on that.
So quarterback being the overall toughest position, but let's just say one chance. You got one play. Jack Howell, lining up at quarterback to complete. You're on the opposing team's 15-yard line. Okay. There's 1 second on the clock.
Yeah.
You got to throw a touchdown pass. The two edge rushers are studs. They're coming at you.
Yeah.
You got two outs. It's the bottom of the ninth. You're down one.
Yeah.
You need to get a hit here. You got a guy on third. You're going to win the game or whatever, tie the game. You got to get a hit.
Yeah.
You got a couple of shots. You got to get a hit. You're two strikes on you. Goalie, guy breakaway coming at you.
Yeah,
you got to stop it or the game's over. And then basketball, you're Nikola Jokic is getting the ball in the paint. And you have to stop him. You're one on one with him.
Uh-huh.
What is the best chance Jack Howell has of winning the game for this team?
It's definitely going to be a quarterback. I grew up training every Sunday, doing extra quarterback work, and you know, quarterback was my first passion till about sophomore year of high school, and then I really started focusing on safety. So we do 7-on-7s in the winter and in the summer. And this winter, we decided to flip offense defense at the end of our practice.
Oh, okay.
It's just the players.
Oh, I love that.
And so I was the quarterback for the defense, and we were playing offense, and the offense was playing defense. And
how'd you do?
I diced him up.
Oh.
I diced him up, went down the field. You know, the red zone got a little bit complicated. They had like, and the offense started cheating. They put like 13 players out there. And so it about started causing fights and riots and stuff like that. But it was like fourth down. And I think I threw a slant to Henry or something. And then we were all going crazy. So, I mean, that was so fun. But I got to go with quarterback. I feel like I could scramble a little bit. And
so when we talk about all this quarterback controversy stuff for CSU, we need to be throwing Jack's name in there, too.
They should. Go watch my high school highlights.
All right, I'm going to. Okay, so eliminate that then, because that's unfair, because you're a D1 college football player.
Yeah.
You're a safety. Odds are you're going to be able to be athletic in all of these positions. Take that one out. Take football out.
Okay.
What do you have a better chance of doing?
Jokic is definitely going to dunk on me.
And he doesn't even dunk that often, but yeah. Oh, he might in this case.
Yeah, he would throw it down on me. So not doing that.
Yeah, because I feel like if you're a goalie, again, I'm not diminishing. I'm just saying, if you just commit that you're going to go this way, maybe they screw up and they hit the puck and it hits you in the face mask.
Exactly.
Baseball, again,
I can't really swing
you just,
a bat.
You just swing it, and maybe the ball makes contact, and you hit it.
Maybe. I got to go goalie, though. Maybe I'll get lucky and just guess aside and get it right. So I'm going to go goalie. You know, swinging a bat is tough.
Oh, I can't imagine. I
played a season of baseball, so I'll go goalie.
I played one season of baseball, and I loved it. I played outfield. And I was actually okay. Most of the time people tell you they played baseball when they're little, it's probably because you sucked and they put you out there. Nobody's hitting. Yeah. I was all right, but hitting the ball, oh my gosh.
Yo, that's crazy.
I got hit in the eyeball the first time I played. Like, I'm crowding the plate, and the pitcher's like, bam! I got to first base, though. So, I mean,
that's a win.
That's all win. You could. I couldn't see. I barely remember that day. It was crazy after that. I've been a slow thinker ever since. But, I think that those things are all very difficult to do.
That's for sure.
No question about
it, man.
That's
crazy.
When you look at your career and you know, the sports you've done over the years and played at this high level that you're at, what so far is, like, your biggest achievement as an athlete?
Biggest achievement? You know, I could go on in stats and talk about, you know, interceptions or tackles or stuff like that, but I'd being named team captain this year, for me was my biggest achievement, just because of the type of guys that we have and the type of players that we have, for those, you know, my teammates to be able to put their trust in me and show me that love and trust. I mean, that means the world to me, and that's something I don't take lightly, and I don't take it for granted. So I would say being named team captain was a huge deal for me.
And I think that answer that you just gave is also why you're a team captain, because you're thinking of those things. Even joking about, you know, you're never going to give yourself a defensive player. I mean, there are a lot of players that's really easy for them to just be like, no, I made the best. And they don't care. I mean, that's fine, whatever. But you are that team first guy, which you do see more often than not, especially on defense. Team first guys usually do some pretty big things.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Well, again, the non-conference schedule wrapped up, and I cannot wait to see what you guys do in this conference going up against Utah State. Because the Mountain West, I mean, there's a couple of teams that are rising to the top right now. Obviously, we know Air Force is doing some big things. Mm-hmm. Fresno State, those are the two teams right now. UNLV, team up north, sorry. Yeah. you know, Boise State, we'll see kind of what they do. But even the teams that are kind of in the bottom tier right now have still been competitive against some of these top tier teams.
Yeah, I think it's a solid group of teams in the Mountain West this year. And, you know, people have really elevated their play. Air Force is always a really good team, and they're looking really strong. Fresno State's looking really strong. But I think we're kind of a dark horse in this, and I think we could surprise a lot of people in a big win against Utah State, and then a big win against Boise on homecoming would make a big statement. So, I mean, just take it week by week. But, you know, Mountain West is a good conference, so it's fun.
It really is, and it's amazing to me how fast the season goes. It seems like just yesterday we're preparing this, you know, previewing the season, looking at what the second year under Jay Norvell is going to be like for you guys. Here we are, 2-2, going up against Utah State for a chance to not only go 1-0 in the conference, but to get up to, you know, a winning record, and then three games away from a bowl appearance, too. So there's a lot of goals that are right there in front for you guys, and I'm excited to follow along with you all season long to see how this thing goes.
It'll be fun. I love where this team is going and what this team is, so I'm just excited to keep playing.
Jack Howell, my friend, best of luck to you this weekend. Pick six is coming up sometime. It's coming.
I need it.
I feel it. I think it's coming. And when you get it, you look up. So I'll be somewhere and just be like, dude, I got it, man.
Yes, sir.
I got it. Yeah. All right, man. Dude, you do great at this. Excellent game by you. Congratulations on the win. And best of luck this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. This has been the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Join us back on the other side for the final hour of the whole show. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.